Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
We are here today to discuss the domino effect.
But hold on.
All right.
I have a few, actually. So Aaron wrote in to, number one, alert me of a clown table sighting that we missed in season two. So that's on our Instagram account. If you're not following us, that we couldn't help but wonder. We post some fun stuff there. And it's a very clear picture of the clown table. And then also, I'm not sure if we talked about this or not, but she had mentioned that, you know how there was the break after season five? Do you think that had something to do with 9/11?
I don't fully understand the question.
Do you think that at the end of Just Say Yes, you referenced the five-month break? Do you think that break was due to 9/11 and that the show was in New York City? For example, the NFL took a hiatus after 9/11 too.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's not the end of season five.
Oh, sorry.
That's midway through season four.
Sorry.
So that was not her fault.
That was my fault, Aaron. I apologize. I am...
To be honest with you, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess that wasn't what it was, only because I think this was kind of... I think that they were trying to promote other shows.
Okay.
Is honestly what I think it is. I think they were like, we're gonna break here. You know, it was a longer season than they'd had before. Or I guess it was as long as the season before. But I think they were just like, let's put the next one in the spring so we can, like, promote more shows that are starting later on in the season. That's my guess.
But we don't know for sure.
We don't know for sure.
So maybe. But I just thought that was an interesting... And I, like, we really like when you guys do write in and, like, point out things we don't see, because it's fun for us. So thank you. Also, Philip let us know that the bar that is not down the hatch is 7B in the East Village, which was then confirmed even more so by the article that I posted on our Facebook page, which you can also follow it, we couldn't help but wonder, from the New York Post, that I titled, "The New York Post-it Always Sticks Twice," and I was really proud of myself for that.
That's I like it when you crack yourself up.
I didn't say it was funny. I just said I was proud of myself. You're the one laughing.
So The Domino Effect originally aired September 7th, 2003, directed by David Frankel. He's going to do the next episode and then be done and go direct, you know, The Devil Wears Prada. Written by Julie Rottenberg and Alisa Kuritsky, which I don't know why I always stumble on her name. Sorry. Sorry, girl. Our DVD recap. Big is back in New York, but unfortunately, he's returned to Gotham to undergo an angioplasty. Carrie does not react well to this news, breaking down into tears whenever the subject comes up. Miranda is torn as to how best to introduce Steve to her new boyfriend, Dr. Leeds. Charlotte's ever-present desire to conceive intensifies after a chance meeting with the very pregnant Bitsy Von Muffling. Smith and Samantha's relationship hits an odd plateau. All right.
So Carrie looks great in that figure skating dress.
Okay. I thought she looks pretty good and very fancy.
No, but it is like a little bit figure skatery. That's all I thought. But she looks great. I said, Carrie looks hot.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some New York nights that are monumental. She's going to the 21 Club.
Yep, I figured that out.
Gotcha. All those little guys standing outside.
And also, did you realize the song that was playing?
I don't think I did.
Okay, I'm really proud of myself because it ties into something Carrie says later. What the instrumental that's playing underneath this is "I've Got You Under My Skin."
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, gotcha.
But I was like proud of myself for figuring
that connection.
Making some connection out.
So Big is here. They're getting steak. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever
the conversation, do they have steaks like this in Napa?
Yeah, no, they do. New York didn't invent steaks.
Where do you think this cattle comes from? A ranch on Canal Street.
Well. What we lack in livestock, we make up for in cabs.
Napa has cabs.
Fine. You win. I don't want to fight about it.
She sort of like jokes about not wanting to fight. It's a, you know, a fun little flirty conversation that I never fully understand. I don't fully understand Carrie and Big's dynamic, and I guess that I just never will, and that's fine. Where they're like, oh, it's fun and flirty.
I mean,
but
if
we're
you don't
never...
know it now or understand know, it now, I'm not sure if you ever will.
When
unless we
get
that
it?
Third movie.
Yeah, that'll clarify it all.
So, what's on your New York agenda? Making some deals, breaking some hearts.
Can I tell you a secret?
That's not your real hair.
And he's having a little heart thing done.
Yeah. Angioplasty. And Carrie starts sobbing.
Yeah.
To the point where I wrote, what is wrong with Carrie? He says, it's like having your teeth cleaned. Now.
Which makes her cry even more.
Right,
because even teeth cleaning makes her sad.
So here's the thing. I know I've said before that my life has seemed to be lining up with Sex and the City. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I say that. I'm like, events in my life are lining up with, like, what I'm watching in Sex and the City.
Don't think that I didn't think about
this,
for the record.
One of my very good friends just had open heart surgery at Mount Sinai on the Upper East Side. And I had no idea we were going to be watching this episode. So last night, when I was watching this, I texted him and I was like, Big had heart surgery at Mount Sinai on the Upper East Side. Now, big surgery is like having a teeth cleaning compared to what my friend just went through. But yeah, I was watching this and I'm like, you guys, I am aligned spiritually with Sex and
the
City.
I really was like, should I like give her a trigger warning or something?
But I was just, and someone kind of, when I had mentioned to them what was going on and like that I was at the hospital, they were like, oh, like Mr. Big. And I'm like, what? And they're like, you'll get there. It's not like a big deal. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
But yeah, I didn't know it was this like on the Upper East Side, Mount Sinai, everything.
There you go. Yes? We have a friend who sometimes cries like out in public spaces.
Okay.
And I'm always like, everyone here thinks that I'm breaking up with you.
She's fine. Could you bring some extra napkins and some violins?
But I feel like that's what's kind of happening here too. I feel like the waiter kind of walks by and looks and, you know, why are you making this lady cry? Anyway, yeah. I just had that thought watching this. So we get to Miranda's and Robert is there cooking and Magda let him in.
He makes one thing.
He makes enchiladas and now I'm hungry, I wrote.
And he holds that pan up and they're all going to fall out onto Miranda. He like holds it up to show her. They do look very good though.
I actually had enchiladas last night. Because I had them left over in my fridge, and I was very excited when I watched this.
Spicy.
I guess he also made sangria. Yeah, there's like a little pitcher of sangria on the table. Yeah. I was like, oh, he's really thinking about all the things.
And she's like, I have placemats?
Yeah.
I don't know. This whole idea of never, none of these women, I do know people that don't cook, but not that they've never opened a drawer in their kitchen.
I wonder, I mean, it can be taken either way, that it could also be just a joke of like, you're using placemats? Like, why do we have those?
How am I going to repay you for all this? I only make lean cuisine.
I have one idea.
And I, you know, he sort of asked her to take the next day off from work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brady will be with Steve. They can have the whole day.
And she doesn't take days off.
Yeah, she never does this. So the next day, when she's clearly taken her first personal day off, I guess it's unfortunate that Steve arrives.
Yeah, Steve comes in. And at first, I didn't realize that this was the next day. At first, I thought it was maybe the same day. And I'm like, why doesn't Steve knock? But then it made more sense that he just...
Yeah, he assumes that she's not there.
Right.
He comes in looking for something.
This would have been something completely different if there was texting. Because I'm sure he would have just like shot her a text saying, hey, just so you know, I'm going to stop by and grab Brady's eardrops.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, he gets very startled and walks into the wall, gets a bloody nose.
And I can't look. I literally have to watch the rest of the scene like with my head down. I have a super nosebleed thing that like, really freaks me. Yeah. Million Dollar Baby was a horror film to me. Like, I just can't.
Can't watch boxing.
Oh, it's so awful. It's awful.
Yeah, and Robert jumps up to help him. He's like, let me see that. And I was glad he had underwear on because that would have just been weird. And it was kind of weird in general. It's a nosebleed.
Right, but I think that in the moment he doesn't know, he thinks maybe
he didn't know
broken.
What to do. Yeah, and he's like, let me be of help here in this
situation.
And
Miranda's very much like, he's a doctor, and he's my boyfriend.
This is Steve, Brady's dad. Who's watching, I wrote, who's watching Steve? Who's watching Brady? My ma. And Debbie.
Yeah, they've been hanging out for about a month, so it's September now.
Mm-hmm.
Just as we're getting our timelines correct. And Robert needs a tampon.
What the fuck? It's a little trick we use at work. And some scissors.
Yeah, and I could sense here, Steve doesn't like this, because he's just sitting on the edge of the bathtub. What are you, some nose guy?
No, I'm in sports medicine.
For the Knicks.
My notes actually say, see, I knew Steve would like that. Because
do you think he likes it, though?
I think he thinks it's cool that a guy works for the Knicks. He's pissed that that guy is dating Miranda.
Yeah, and now he's just sitting there with a tampon in his nose.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good visual.
Which I have done before.
Have you?
Yeah, I used to get nosebleeds. Sorry.
I don't know
why.
I'm trying to know how to talk about it.
I used to get them very, very frequently. And nothing is scarier than not knowing you had a nosebleed while you were sleeping and waking up in the middle of the night to go pee and seeing your face in the mirror.
So that pretty much solves the problem of how Robert and Steve are going to meet. I guess I can check that off my list of things to do.
Miranda looks incredible and Carrie is in overalls. And I only wrote that down because usually Miranda doesn't get a chance to shine, like be the
I
most...
feel like they've really let Miranda dress up for the last few episodes.
And I like it. I think she looks great.
Yeah.
And I love the way they've dressed her. I love her hair. She just really looks awesome.
And, you know, I like Samantha's thing of like, well, You won.
Yeah. And Samantha says she's fucking a hot black doctor and Steve has a tampon up his nose. Which, once again, where I'm like, why can't he just be a hot doctor?
Okay, I hate to admit this, but there is part of me that took some pleasure in the whole thing.
Of course you want your ex to be kind of jealous of you.
Oh, that's, absolutely.
That's totally normal, Miranda.
Yeah, that's...
What you're feeling is completely natural.
I actually work for that. Like, I don't just... Like, I'm like, how can I make this person jealous?
And why do I care what Steve thinks? And the idea is brought up, and
well, because three episodes ago you loved him, so yeah, that's right. Probably why.
Yeah, of course. And some people just get under your skin.
I've got you.
There you go.
And I wrote full circle to song. And then we find
that's
out.
That's true. I mean, of course, there are people that, like, once they've been a part of your life, even if you're over them, which, you know, let's face it, Miranda isn't over him.
Right. But there's
even when you don't have feelings for them anymore, there are people that are always going to have a certain effect on you.
We always talk about this, that there's that one person or that one situation that you just can't get over. And not even can't get over, it just always pisses you off a little bit.
Or just affects you, or like moves you, or like makes your heart hurt a little bit.
Or you're like, why did I have to look like shit when I saw that person randomly? Right.
So, yeah, Carrie reveals that Big is here for a heart thing.
What, is he on the wait list to get one?
No. And you're going to feel incredibly bad in a minute. He's here because he's having heart surgery.
Okay, I'm officially a monster. Please continue.
No, it's okay. It's actually a fairly routine procedure. They found a blockage.
And then Carrie cries. Like, Carrie tries to explain it, but cries again.
Yeah, just... And maybe it's because her cry is so cartoonish that I'm like, what is happening?
I know, it's funny because this is an instance in which I want to be like, Carrie, shut up.
Yeah.
I don't know why it really annoys me. And it's, you know, it's just... I guess we'll kind of get into it a little bit later, but... Yeah, it does annoy me. I'm like, I need you to stop. Yeah, and then Bitsy shows up and is pregnant.
Yeah, which is outrageous because everyone knows she's married to the gayest gay man alive.
Yeah, and it's a girl. It's going to be Judy or Barbara.
We're going to wait to see what she looks like.
I like Judy.
All right, we just keep the hits coming.
Yeah, and I was thinking, is she has to be post-menopause. Like, I was like, is she young enough to have a child? Like, how does this work? Like, this and that. And then when she walks away, Charlotte's like,
how is that physically possible? That woman is like 50 years old.
And Samantha follows it with a with another one of Samantha's very sensitive comments.
I know. We won't put it in. And it's just, I guess it's just like of the time. And it's not right now, so it wasn't right then. But, oh, Samantha. Samantha's not worried about the PC aspect of it.
When in TV was it decided that, that's a terrible word to use?
I think that it comes and goes.
Because you would never... I remember hearing it in movies. I remember hearing it on Will and Grace, hearing it in Sex and the City. You wouldn't hear it anymore unless it was used... Like, you would only hear it now if it was like... people of the community talking to one another or people... using it as a slur?
I don't really know. I think that it's a thing that I can't say that no one will ever use it ever again.
Yeah, I just was wondering, like, when it was so... When were we all like, oh, we shouldn't use this as a casual word?
Because I think about even, like, the first Hangover movie that uses it in, like, a ha-ha funny way.
Right.
And for me, I remember watching that movie and, like, when it, like, I was gone for, like, 10 minutes. Like, it took me a while to, like, get back to be able to, like, enjoy watching that movie. Yeah, I don't know. So, Charlotte goes to see the doctor and all the women are trading pregnancy stories.
I want to get acupuncture.
I've actually always wanted to get acupuncture.
Should we do that as, like, a fun date?
If someone wants to offer it for free, yes.
It's not that expensive.
Did she drink the teas religiously? Tell her to drink the teas. They're smelly, but they work.
My friend Lois got pregnant on her third visit.
I know a woman who was told she'd never get pregnant, ever. Because she wasn't ovulating. And guess what? She's expecting her fourth this Christmas.
We cut to Charlotte on the bed, and this is when we meet Dr. Mao. Mm-hmm. Now, I do have to say there's a weird trivia thing where it's like, Kristen Davis brought in her own acupuncturist to play the acupuncturist. No, she didn't. Like, maybe she had her own acupuncturist, like, do the acupuncture, but this is an actor.
Right.
Hoon Lee, he's done a lot of Broadway stuff.
Yeah, he most recently, I think, did the Lincoln Center King and I.
Yes. Anyways, just I wanted to address that because I read it somewhere and I was like, no, that's an actor.
Yeah, maybe. I was wondering about the needles, so I guess she probably
They probably brought someone in to do that. He leaves Charlotte with her thoughts. And yeah, this is where we go from Upper East Side. Eastern medicine on the Upper West Side to Western medicine on the Upper East Side. Carrie is in Big's room. He sort of fakes weariness.
Yeah.
What did you think? I'd be dead already?
I don't know.
And Ruby the nurse comes in.
Tanya Patano. I know her because she played the character of Helia James on Weeds.
Mm. And she, and of course, Carrie starts crying again.
Yeah, he struggles with the pillow and she starts crying. And the nurse refers to Big as Carrie's husband.
Yeah, don't cry. Your husband will be fine.
And that snaps her out of it.
Mm-hmm. He's not my husband.
So we have a strange sex scene with Smith.
Yeah, I wrote, Samantha is teaching Smith the guitar.
A little bit more to the left.
Put yeah, your I right like, finger here, then was, move your left finger down there. It's just very, because I'm wondering.
It pays off in the next scene.
Right. I'm just wondering, like, where, I'm just wondering, like, how he has so much space to do all these maneuvers.
Well, I just wrote, he's returned, and Samantha seems to think he's forgotten where everything is. Mm-hmm. But then we cut to the next, the walking in the neighborhood, and the hand directions make sense.
Later, without direction, Smith tried the most intimate hand position of all.
It's all a setup for that.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, like, he can put his hand inside of her, but he can't hold hers.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
I think you can see what will become the southernmost end of the High Line.
Okay.
If you look up in the background, you can see, like, trees growing up on the on what will become the High Line Park. Yeah, she doesn't want to hold his hand.
No.
And in an act of avoidance, falls down some stairs.
Falls down the hatch.
Down the hatch.
Into Kale, which is a real New York fear.
Yeah. All New Yorkers fear that moment, that you will accidentally fall down. Now, what I will say is I don't really like holding hands.
Okay.
Because it's just like, it's, I have kind of sweaty palms, sort of, and it's just uncomfortable.
And you don't like relationships.
That too, as well.
Yeah, and most hatches now, they have cones around them. At least they are supposed to.
Yeah. So Samantha meets Carrie, and she's now in a special sandal.
Mm-hmm.
And she blames it on Smith.
He did something to me that was so perverse. Okay, I'm just gonna say it. He tried to hold my hand.
I really like Carrie's like...
And to think he once served us food.
Yeah, and Samantha admits that she hasn't slept around, and that mm-hmm. she even missed him.
Well, it sounds to me like he missed you too, hence the deviant behavior.
And you might want to consider holding his hand.
Yeah.
So Carrie admits that she cried when she saw Big, and she says...
I finally figured out that the only way to have Big in my life was to block out certain feelings.
Eesh. I don't know how I feel about that.
What are the feelings?
I think love or the need for something more. And I'm trying to examine that, you know, like in relationships. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that works for me of like, yes, I can be around this person. I just have to just like block things. I just think you kind of have to like deal with the things. And then if you can't move past them, maybe you can't have that relationship. I don't know.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I think it's like you don't want to have someone that closely in your life if you are thinking, I just can't ever think. I get what
I have
saying.
To block certain
right,
feelings
you
to
be able
around
to work
you.
Through it that, so you can be around
yeah,
them.
I find that problematic.
So what are you going to do about it?
Nothing. There's nothing to do. Big is who he is. He's never going to change. He's limited and I accept that.
Yeah. I don't know. I had concerns. I had concerns about that conversation.
Ow. Honey, if it hurts so much, why are we going shopping? I have a broken toe, not a broken spirit.
That's all it is a broken toe, yeah. And she's in that boot.
I think it's a broken big toe.
But I thought for like a broken toe, I don't know, I just can't imagine.
They don't usually do very much for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but
maybe
she
it's
has
like
a full, yeah. I don't know, she has a lot going on.
If New York City's signature fruit is the apple, then its signature sound is the ambulance siren.
We get to the question.
Whether you're falling into a hole in the street, or possibly falling back in love. Just how dangerous is an open heart?
She calls
Mount Sinai Hospital, room 817, and she finds out that Big is no longer there.
Yeah, he left and, of course, didn't tell her.
Nope.
She goes to find him at the Four Seasons.
You know I'd invite you in, Sniffles, but I've run out of Kleenex. Should I call the concierge, or did you bring your own?
Oh, I'm sorry. You must have me confused with someone else. I'm Candy. You're a candy striper.
He can't get excited.
Yeah, but this isn't about stripping, it's about striping.
And it's about taking care of him.
Yeah, she brought Domino's and a lollipop. It is what it is. I mean, it's funny, and I get what she's going for, and I get what they're going for, and part of me is like, what is this relationship?
Right.
Because we're back still into that flirty, like that same conversation where it was like, there would be none of the... Where like, it's so obviously like sexual mm-hmm. and flirty, but we've also established that that's not going to happen.
Right.
Just saying, you're playing with fire.
But I think when you... love someone like that, even though you're not going to pretend that you love them, you want to take care of them.
Sure.
And Big
absolutely.
Doesn't have anyone else in the city that's taking care of him because
yeah.
he's probably been a dick to everyone else. Let's be honest.
Where's his ex-wife?
Yeah.
So across town, Miranda is lathering up Brady
mm-hmm.
and along comes Debbie.
Hey.
Hi, Miranda.
Hello. It's nice.
Oh my God.
Miranda goes to greet her and falls.
Yeah.
I do like that if you look... Brady is curious, but not concerned.
Nope.
Brady's kind of like, what you doing down there, Mom?
Mom, why'd you fall?
Robert returns.
And I was thinking Robert and Debbie would look good together in my fan fiction.
You're trying to pair them off.
Yeah, well, you know I'm just like, Robert, bye. Like, you're cute, you're great, you're wonderful, you're perfect, but you're not Steve.
Yeah, Robert and Miranda kiss, and she sort of makes light of the falling.
I'm fine. It was nothing.
And Debbie seems super sweet, actually.
She does seem sweet. I feel like they cast, you know, they wrote this and cast it very well, that she's just like a sweet girl.
Yeah.
Like, she's not vicious. We're not supposed to hate her. Like, she's nice.
And she's beautiful. Like, we see for the first time that Debbie is, like, a hottie.
Yeah, she's
gorgeous. And I don't know if they, like, nothing against the name Debbie, but they gave her the name Debbie to kind of be like, you don't know what you're, you know what
right.
I mean?
So Miranda kind of flaunts Robert's job. And of course, Debbie thinks it's the coolest thing. And Steve loves the Knicks. And
yeah.
I didn't know you were a Knicks man.
Yeah, I follow all the New York teams.
Oh, he lives for the Knicks. One time he took me to a game and our seats were so high up. What do they call that section?
The nosebleed section.
I can usually scrounge up a few courtside seats if you're ever interested.
But he's fine with his nosebleed seats.
Right.
Take the seats.
I don't need a seat.
I'm guessing the nosebleed seat is the callback to the nosebleed.
Take the seat.
As Miranda and Steve continued needling each other on the playground.
We're back at the acupuncturist.
Dr. Mouse.
And there's suddenly much noise on the street.
There's chanting outside.
Yeah.
When Charlotte opened her mind to Chinese medicine, she didn't expect a visit from the Cuban Liberation Front.
And Charlotte goes in search of the doctor, which kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, she can't just walk around like that with, like, needles.
They just, like,
all
hold
her
hands
face.
In a certain way because there's needles in her hands, too. And the doctor's basically like, the city's never going to quiet down. Like,
no.
You have to learn how to quiet things inside of your head. This gets to meditation, which I tried to do one time.
And in the words of Mike Jensen, if you can't do it once, don't try it ever again.
Perfect. I'm having t-shirts made. We're back to Samantha and Smith, and he's just sort of talking about his time on the set.
No, the actors were cool, the location was great, the whole thing was off the hook.
But I like this part.
Yeah, he tries to hold her hand, and she protests, and he basically shuts it down.
Samantha, I like you, you like me, just fucking hold my hand.
Yeah, that's kind of it, and I think that she kind of likes that.
Right.
I also did note that this scene is literally across the street from the other hand-holding scene.
Well, get her away from that hatch.
Yeah, it's literally across the street because you can still see the southernmost part of the High Line in the background. So they're just
well, it's just her
walking
name.
Around. Yeah, exactly. That makes sense. And we cut to dominoes.
Mm-hmm. Dominoes, I used to,
I used to love doing this, like lining up the dominoes, but I was never very good at it.
You've got too many on that end and they're crooked, especially those last four.
Like I would like start it and then it would just like, I don't know.
One would fall and the
exactly.
rest would stand there.
There's this kind of light banter about games.
Well, see, you don't understand the delicate balance of physics involved in this.
Well, that's true. This is really more your generation's game, whereas I came of age in the Parcheesi era.
And he brings up the idea that this is what they would be like in their
70s. Yeah.
And she makes light of it.
You already thinking about your next birthday?
And then he gets serious.
Yeah, seriously, kid. You and me and the early bird special. And then...
he's suddenly not doing so well.
Oh, gets a fever.
Gets a fever. He's burning up. She's on the phone with the doctor and, you know, things are going to be fine.
Yeah. And
he calls her an angel and takes her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And now things get very serious.
Serious? What are we doing? Talking about us. Life's too short. What are we doing?
I don't know.
I don't know if this was the fever talking, like he was talking out of his head. Which does happen.
Yeah.
My mother says the craziest things when she has a fever. Or if one time she sang to me all of Knights in White Satin and then sang it to me again and spoke the words more clearly so I could understand how beautiful that song is. And then I told her that. She's like, Lisey, I don't even think I know that song. And I was like, well, you loved it then.
In that moment.
And I think maybe he just saw someone taking care of him. You know, when's the last time he's really had someone taking care of him?
Right. And she lies down with him and turns off the light. And
it took the best heart surgeon in New York, but Big's heart was finally unblocked.
So shout out to Mount Sinai, since I was just on Welcome to Mount Sinai Heart. That's what they say as you get off the elevator. I was there a lot. They are some of the best heart surgeons. And our experience there was 4 stars. So I will say,
I was going to say, would order again.
Would order again. But Big, like, the procedure Big had, I believe, is just when they It's like a catheterization.
Yeah,
like
where they didn't have to do
very
much.
And they put
much.
The balloon yeah. in through the vein. So it's actually non-surgical. At one point, he was laughing really hard. And I was like, Big, you can't laugh because you're not supposed to laugh when you have open heart surgery.
Even like when he like got up and that,
but
like,
he didn't
yeah,
have.
He didn't have.
He didn't have
was,
open heart
it was
surgery.
Very, very.
Yeah.
Simple surgery. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Steve arrives with Brady the next morning, and I wrote they have a somewhat relaxed / tense conversation about Debbie and Robert.
That was funny the other day.
Yeah, it was fun. Wait, did you say it was fun or funny?
I said funny, I think, but I guess I meant fun.
They're both trying to be real cool.
Yeah, Miranda, and then you hear this, like, gentle elevator music in the background.
Yeah, and what is Steve about to say?
And I just said, just tell her you love her, Steve! Well, of course that's what he's about to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then Robert comes in, and I wrote, oh, fuck you, Robert!
And that brings that to an end. Mm-hmm. And we cut to Charlotte on the street, and there's Bitsy.
Hey there! Hi there!
Bitsy's suddenly everywhere.
Yeah, Bitsy is everywhere. She is pregnant, and she is talking, and we're zooming in on her face, and the talking is muffled, and Charlotte is able to block out all of the New York noise she didn't need to hear.
Yeah,
good
which
for
is
her.
Great. Good for Charlotte. And it's the next morning with Big. And he feels like himself again, so there you go.
Yeah, and I was very concerned they were drinking champagne because I saw that flute, but it's just a ginger ale.
Uh-huh.
So that was good.
It was a shift imperceptible to anyone but me. But I knew Big's heart had closed again.
Carrie gets up to order breakfast and doesn't feel like crying.
Well, just get me some cornflakes and juice. Thanks.
For the first time all week, I didn't feel like crying. Life's too short.
And there you go. I remember watching this episode the first time being like, is this happening? And then, of course, getting to the end being like, of course, this is not happening. Never mind. That would be way too easy if Big was just suddenly like, oh, I've changed. My heart is open.
Yeah.
And I wrote, we end with the restaurant song. Just because this is one of those songs that like has played in every restaurant that I've
what
ever
is it?
Worked at. It's called The Waiting Line by 07. And it's that, do you believe?
Oh, yeah.
What do you see? Like, I feel like any restaurant I've ever worked at, this plays in the background.
On Muzak.
Yeah, exactly. So, there you go. Interesting episode.
Yeah. I couldn't help but wonder.
We didn't talk about the question, though. How dangerous is an open heart?
I mean, it's only dangerous if you are someone who wants to put it in the freezer and forget about it. Like, it's only dangerous if you aren't willing to, like, look at your life and look at your emotions and handle them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously at this point in the series, we've had variations on this question. What the question really is like how dangerous it is to be vulnerable.
Right. And like, and what are you going to do? Walk around with a closed off your whole life?
Yes, please. No, but no, of course, no. The answer to that is no. You have to be vulnerable. I mean, I think that, you know, there's the whole pearls before swine thing. Like, you kind of want to like.
Are you calling me a pig?
No, but I'm saying like you don't want to just give it away to anybody. Like, you should have a certain amount of care with your emotions and with your heart and with love, but the alternative is completely cutting yourself off from the possibility or having the emotions, and no, that would be the wrong choice. So I guess it's a balancing act.
Self-discovery with Mike Jensen.
Elise, what are we waiting for? Like, what are we doing?
I'm not marrying you. See? Tables are turned. Yeah, I also agree with what you're saying about the question. Like, totally.
Yeah.
I think you need to be vulnerable. You need to be able to open your heart. And I've actually noticed, and I know I just said this, but I kind of want to write a piece or like write something about my experience watching Sex and the City now, because I have actually noticed, but I feel like all these girls would be like, that dumb bitch. Like, what is she talking about? Like, my experience with Sex and the City. But no, it really has changed the way that I kind of approach things in life, because I feel like I'm learning things from watching this. Like, I never watched this before. And there's a lot of, like, lessons I feel that could have been useful to me, just about understanding life and going through life as a woman. And even though I know some of it is really exaggerated and, you know, made for TV, but there's so many things that I never had a sister, and like to have these experiences would have been interesting. And I even find myself like talking about my own life experiences more openly and just being more open in general to just talk about life and love and dating and relationships and things that I always thought like I couldn't share with other people. So I don't know. I think, and I've noticed I've been more free saying those things and feel less of a...
This show has really changed you.
Because I knew it. I have been changed for good. Okay. I couldn't help but wonder, what about Liza? That's a good name for the baby.
Oh, that's true.
You know, it's Judy, Barbara.
Real diss to Miss Minnelli.
Yeah, what about Maureen McGovern?
I suppose Liza's kind of covered by Judy, though. That was her mom.
Her mom.
Also, how excited am I for the new Judy movie?
What about Linda Ronstadt? That would be a great name.
No, but I want there to be one name.
Yeah.
This is our baby, Linda Ronstadt.
This is our baby, Linda Ronstadt Marie.
I couldn't help but wonder. See, I want to say certain ones. Like, I couldn't help but wonder why Big would leave the hospital without telling Carrie. But of course he would do that. So I don't wonder
even know,
about
wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't he have to have someone escort him? Like, don't you have to be picked up? Can they just, like, drop you off?
I don't know. Maybe he left against medical recommendations.
Yeah.
So I guess I couldn't help but wonder. Why did he come back to New York for the surgery?
Well, they are just some of the doctors. Best doctors. Yeah.
All right. Wow, I got nothing. I couldn't help but wonder how Bitsy got pregnant. For real. All the herbs and acupuncture in the world. I can't.
Are you drinking the herbs?
The herbs are very important. All right, I have one more episode.
Do you believe?
I shouldn't say it's the restaurant song because there are a few of them.
I thought it was
like,
Sade for sure.
Oh, no.
Sade for sure.
All right, one more.
Bye.
Next week, bye. Bye. You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for one. For the record, also, one more thing I have to say real fast. No, it's not funny. I'll tell you a story later. Robert's there cooking. Magda let him in.
Should I have that filter? Whatever filter that was just that you used.
Not really important for the podcast.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh.
If you eat enchiladas.
Okay.
And getting caught in the rain on my birthday. Western medicine on the Upper East Side.
Wait, we have to cover this scene first.
Oh, sorry.
Growing a top.
Just how dangerous is a broken heart?
I think it's just how dangerous
this
is an
open
heart.
Yeah.
And they call Mount Sinai Hospital and she calls
Mount Sinai Hospital room 817.